Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air and online and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart and to touch our hearts today. So if you've been with us, you know we're going to be wrapping up our monthly series on a portrait of God. I love to do portraits of God. Everything I see in Scripture gives me a portrait of God. It helps me get to know His heart, His ways. Oh, my friends, it helps us develop that intimate relationship with Him, to get to know Him better, to make sure we see that Scripture points us to Him. It's not a rule book. It points us to Him, way up to Him. And so we're looking at this particular portrait this Thanksgiving month about how He is our heart-changing provider. Why? Because our heart-changing provider transforms us as often as we express our grateful thankfulness for His bountiful provision. Have you stopped to think how bountifully He provides for you? Because when you do, man, Thanksgiving just pours out of us. And not only that, God transforms our hearts to be even more and more grateful because an intimacy with Him is being cultivated. So we have 12 takeaways about this. We've covered the first eight, and we're going to finish it up today. And by the way, as you're making way over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we'll continue our journey today, just a reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. And on the landing page, just click on the gray box. It says broadcasts. Really easy. Then on the next page, click on the box that says portraits of God. That's easy too. And then you're there. There's a list of all of these messages that you can catch up if you've missed them or listen to them again if you'd like. By the way, that first landing page has other gray boxes on there as well. Articles that I've written, videos, 3-minute videos on portraits of God that I've recorded and posted up there. Also, there's some printed guides that you can get, quick guides to all kinds of hot topics from the Scripture and life for you. All of them designed to do one thing, to help you hear God. So I hope you'll check it out, markpg.org. And speaking of hearing God, let's just ask Him to speak as we get ready to take a journey through the Scriptures to wrap up this particular portrait of God that I'm calling our heart-changing provider. He is our heart-changing provider. Well, Lord, we're so grateful for how You do provide for us in so many, many ways. Many ways, so faithfully, day in and day out. And Lord, I confess, I lose sight of that sometimes and just kind of motor along and don't give much thought about it. Forgive me, Lord, for that. Lord, I want to cultivate a heart that thanks You for Your bountiful provision, Lord. And I know that when I do, You change our heart. You deepen our heart. You deepen our intimacy with You. So that's what I pray for my brothers and sisters as well. And as we're going through the finishing day, a broadcast of this particular journey through the Scriptures, oh, I pray You'll embed it deep in our hearts how You are our heart-changing provider. We ask for nothing less, O Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, just to give you kind of a set up a table overview of where we've been, the first eight, let me just briefly run by these to you, and then we'll wrap it all up so you'll have all 12, especially for those of you who are note takers. Number one is we saw that thanking God is about our heart and His wonders. It's about our heart and His wonders. Psalm 9:1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. and I will tell of all your wonders. I love how it pivots to him. It's like you're telling somebody, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, but then it reminds you of him, and I look up to him, oh Lord, I will tell of all your wonders. I love that. Number two, thanking God is the front end of worship. It's the front end of worship. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So the starting place, coming to the gate, man, come with thanksgiving. Do you regularly thank God up front to start your worship time? Because that will lead you to move from thanking him for what he does to praising him for who he is, his character, his portrait. Wow. Number three, thanking God should be constant in our prayers. Philippians 4, 6, classic verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All prayers should be with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're to be thanking God in everything, not for everything. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, but that's a huge difference. Thanking God should be constant in our prayers, thanking him in everything, every time we pray. Number four, thanking God appreciates his everlasting kindness. His everlasting kindness is one of the most unpreached things that we have. You know, we hear about all kinds of things about God, but how often have you heard a good, lengthy, in-depth thing about his kindness? The fact of the matter is, the Bible is filled with that, and Psalm 118, verse 1 puts it this way, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Scripture even tells us that it's because of his kindness that we come to the presence. It's by his kindness that we are brought to repentance. I love that. Number five, thanking God magnifies him in our heart. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. You know that when we have this thankful heart that's being cultivated, it magnifies him in our hearts. No, that's what we want. Number six, thanking God spawns serving and giving. 2 Corinthians 9:12 puts it this way, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs, there's the giving, of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. The more we give thanks to God, the more he cultivates a spirit of service and giving within us. And as we get older, for example, we learn that at Christmas time, though as children getting gifts was the highlight, as we get older, giving the gifts, that perfect gift to that special someone, brings us far more joy. God cultivates that. The more we cultivate a thankful heart in him. Number seven, thanking God as a sacrifice honors him. We talked about this last time, Psalm 50, verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Now, this can be a little confusing because sacrifice seems like, oh, I have to sacrifice, it's like a downer, it's like a big hurtful, wounding, sorrowful thing, but I got to do it anyway, so here it is. Well, no, sacrifice in Scripture is an utter act of humility. It's that spirit of covenant that says, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you, O Lord, not because I have to, but because I want to. I willfully, voluntarily, with humility and gratefulness, offer this sacrifice unto you, O Lord, in worship. And we see that throughout the Old Testament in ceremonial forms, but in heart and spirit, it's the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise, because we want to. It's a joyful sacrifice, and it honors him. And then number eight, thanking God helps us be alert in heart. Colossians 4, 2 through 3, put it this way, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. There it is. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for all of us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of God. My friends, the more you offer regular thanksgiving to the Lord at the front end of your worship times and all, He will give you a more and more alert heart, a watchful heart, an attentive heart, one that is sensitive to all the whispers of God, even in a noisy world. It's an amazing thing. Well, now we come to number 9. Thanking God for authorities has a big impact. The scripture talks very clearly about the importance of thanking God for authorities in our life, governmental authorities and authorities of all kinds. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 puts it this way. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, this might be kind of a tough one for us to understand, because when we look at our world right now, we think about the utter global, national, and cultural chaos that we're enduring, that we're seeing. I mean, there are wars all over the place. I mean, the latest one that has erupted has been Israel versus Hamas, and that quagmire that's been going that way for centuries between the Arab world and the children of Israel, kind of a thing. Of course, we know about Ukraine and Russia and all. And then we have all kinds of persecution against Christians in different countries. We have Sudan and all. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. In our own country, we have all kinds of cultural chaos and debate and anger and gridlock and in our legislature and presidential candidates that maybe, we would be hopeful for better. I mean, what do we do with this? Thanking God for those authorities that's causing and creating and all this mess and all this stuff. What in the world? And how can you say we can have a tranquil and quiet life with all this chaos going on? Well, it's similar to the deeper principle of how to be thankful, not for these things, but in these things. Even though we do have a lot of this chaos that's going on, there's still many, many, many good authorities, men and women who are in place to try to lead and govern in a way that provides a sense of stability in our culture. But no culture, no country is ever going to be perfect. It's always going to be a mixed bag. Life is that way, my friends. No family is perfect. You are not perfect. No church is perfect. No volunteer organization is perfect. No sports entity is perfect. We can go on and on and on. That's just the reality of life. It is messy. It is chaotic. It is disappointing. It is hurtful. It is dangerous. But in the midst of it, we don't have to live with utter despair and fear. We can lead a tranquil and quiet life even in the midst of this, to the degree we find ourselves hidden with Christ in God, that He is our refuge, He is our fortress. When we thank the Lord and say, Lord, we thank You for the people who are in authority, doing the best they can in a crazy world, we know that because of that, we do have some semblance of stability and safety, even though there may be times when there is an eruption of violence, an eruption of chaos, an eruption of bitterness and anger and all. The bigger picture, you've got us. You've got this. Thanking God for authorities has a big impact, because while it might not change the immediate issues around you, the circumstances around you, it can change your heart disposition in the midst of it, so you can still lead a tranquil and quiet life in the midst of all the chaos. Jesus sleeping at the bow of the boat when it was rocking in a storm at sea and the disciples were going crazy with fear. We can be at rest in the Lord, even when the storms are raging, and we can pray for leaders. None of them have ever been perfect. But there is enough there that God can use to bring some stability in this chaotic world in which we live. Thanking God for authorities has a big impact on your heart and your ability to be at peace in the midst of the stormy chaos. Well, now number 10, thanking God can include leaders and others. Now we're going to talk about corporate thanksgiving, prayer, and worship, not just individual thanksgiving, prayer, and worship. Nehemiah 12:46, I love this, says this, "For in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise, and hymns of thanksgiving to God." So there you have hymns of thanksgiving to God and all the other things that go along with corporate worship, corporate prayer. My friend, there's a power to thanking the Lord, worshiping the Lord, praying together in the Lord that's just irreplaceable. It's a good thing to cultivate a private prayer life, a private worship life, a private habit of thanksgiving. But when we do it together with others, and this is why the Thanksgiving season is so special, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. We gather together to share hearts and compare notes in our journey with the Lord. There's something about speaking of the wonders of God, as we talked about earlier, and all that God's doing in our lives, of His comfort in the midst of the disappointments and the challenges that we face. Corporately thanking God, corporately praying together, corporately worship was the habit that was cultivated way back in the Old Testament era, continues to today. That's why it's so important to be part of a local church family and a small group that you come together for corporate thanksgiving and prayer and worship. It'll change your heart. God uses it to change your heart. So thanking God's not just a private exercise or habit, a good habit that you can cultivate, but thanking God can include leaders and others. So I hope you take full advantage of it. Wow. You know, as I think back over the years of the privilege I had of pastoring a local church, I did that for about 35 years or so. In the last 9 or 10, I've been now overseeing our churches here in Southwest Florida, about 106 Southern Baptist churches in this area. And I tell you, I get to worship at all these different churches and often preaching there and too. But I love going to all of our different churches because they're so different. In fact, just this past Sunday, I was had the privilege of preaching in one of our Haitian churches. And the Sunday before, I was at the installation service participating in a Vietnamese, one of our Vietnamese church, actually the only Vietnamese one we have, and all. I've been in our Hispanic churches, I've been in our Romanian churches and all, of course, all our different Anglo or English-speaking churches, the rural and the suburban and the urban and the big and the small and more traditional and more contemporary, and then you have almost charismatic-like, and then more and more conservative time. I mean, all kinds of churches, but I love how corporately we can all come together to worship the Lord with songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving and listening to His Word and just renewing our hearts together regularly, every week. I hope you have a church home, my friends, and take full advantage of that. Well, along that line, number 11, we've been saying today that thanking God for authorities has a big impact. That's number 9. Number 10, thanking God can include leaders and others. Number 11, thanking God with throngs is festive. All right, here we go. Psalm 42, verse 4. "For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival." My friends, coming together to worship the Lord and offer our thanksgiving and our praise to Him with voices of joy is a biblical concept. It should be festive. Worship services should be festive. Now, I will say that one of the things that I have shared over the years is that when we're talking about corporate worship and expressing with voices of joy and thanksgiving our worship to the Lord, let me just give you a quick way to solve any worship wars that may still be left over in your church or may be going on in your church, because the fact of the matter is, it should be festive, but there are actually four different kind of feels or tones or emphases when we worship. Being festive is one of them. It's right here. But picture, maybe draw a triangle on your page if you're taking those notes. And at the top of the triangle, let's put the word majestic. Sometimes worship is majestic. We worship the Lord as our King. Isaiah 6 comes to mind. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the scripture describes how the angels would fly around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the passage goes on to say that He fell at his face before the awesome and mighty and majestic God, saying, "Woe is me, I am undone," and all. There is a place for that kind of worshiping the King in majestic worship. Now, that's one type. Another type, and by the way, that can be festive too, but it's just got that feel of the utter humility and reverence and brokenness of the awe-inspiring, mighty, powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's at the top of the, not because it's the most important, but it's just in the diagram at the top of the pyramid. That's that one. The bottom left, you can put down the word celebrative. Celebrative, it's the idea that we just read about here, very festive in processions. We think about people marching in to celebrate the conquering general. This is celebrating the Lord as our victor, what He won on the cross, you know, when He died for our sins and defeated death and the devil and all. He's the victor. And so when David was coming in, the people were chanting, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And there was just like a ticker tape parade. So there is a time for worship that's like that. We worship the Lord with majestic worship as our King. We worship Him with celebration as He is our victor. But then there's intimate worship on that third point of the triangle. We have majestic, we have celebrative, now intimate. He is our dad. Romans 8 puts it this way about our Heavenly Father. He is our dad. He's our Abba Father. The scripture also describes Him as the bridegroom, and we are the bride. There's an intimacy there. Worship sometimes is gentle, soft, intimate. It's because we're getting to know the Lord that personally. He is our bridegroom, invited us to marry Him, enter covenant with Him. And nothing more tender than that. He's our Abba Father. So there's a place for intimate worship, very different from majestic worship, very different from celebrative worship, but all of it's festive, just in different ways. But there's one more, because right in the center is what I call broken worship. It's celebrating the Lord as our healer. We are broken people, and by His stripes we are healed. When we get saved, He saves us. He heals us spiritually, physically, on one day, totally, when we get to glory. And it's that sense of broken worship where we just humbly receive that He is the lead. He is the King. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. That broken, He's healed me. He's healed me. He's rescued me. He's always doing that. Well, you know what? When we understand that kind of positive brokenness, majestic becomes more majestic. Celebrative becomes more celebrative. Intimate becomes more intimate in our worship. We can do all of those. A broken person in the Lord, in that positive sense, can celebrate and be festive in the Lord with the throngs in all these ways, thanking God as our heart-changing provider. With throngs is festive. And finally, we wrap it up. Here's where we're going. Ultimately, thanking God with angels is our eternal destiny. Revelation 7, verses 11 and 13 says this, "And all the angels were standing around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Oh, my friends, regularly thanking God at the front end of worship and in festive ways and with the throngs and in all these ways we've been describing is a preview of our eternity in the presence of God and the angels, that with the angels we will be expressing our blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might unto the Lord for our Lord forever and ever. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. The Lord is our heart-changing provider, my friends. He does transform us as often as we express our grateful thankfulness for His bountiful provision. So spend not just Easter month and Easter week and Easter day thanking the Lord. Make it a daily, habitual thing. Reflex at the front end of your worship. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, for this time together. May we celebrate you as our heart-changing provider. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.